We are out in Ashburn, Virginia at Commanders practice. You heard Joe Witt speak a little earlier. Now we got Cliff Kingsbury talking. Kingsbury, very dismissive of Bengals corner Cam Taylor Britt, who suggested that they're running a nice college offense was the line.
Somebody must have told him you don't give teams a bulletin board material, right?
Yeah, I don't know that he's listening to that.
If I were them, I'd go after
him. To help us learn more about the Bengals, Charlie Goldsmith covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer, joins us now. Charlie, what's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, in Cam Taylor Britt's defense, the Bengals were running a nice college offense in 2020 with Burrow, and that worked out okay for him. So
that's true. Is Cam Taylor Britt the kind of guy, like, was he trying to take a shot there, or was it kind of just something that was said poorly?
Cam Taylor Britt's a very interesting character. I mean, his nickname is literally Juice. He's also an all-time culture setter from a guy in his first or second year in the league. He's in year three now, but he very quickly became one of the voices of that locker room. I don't think he was trying to take a shot. I don't think he really cares what the, you know, about how anything is perceived or anything like that. But I think there's some interesting things to discuss about schematically what the Commanders offense looks like. But I don't think he was trying to put himself in the spotlight and the headlines by trying to stir the pot.
But the question I want to ask you, like, when we saw how the Bengals came out in the first week, lost against the Patriots, then they go to Kansas City, who they play well all the time, but they lost the game. Which team are the Bengals really?
Well, week one, Joe Burrow was terrible. And so the question about which team the Bengals are really is, what do you think of Joe Burrow? And Joe Burrow has a very long track record of being one of the best, one of the top five, top three quarterbacks in the league. More often than not, I'll bet on Burrow being the guy he was in week two, which wasn't even his best performance, but was much better than how Mahomes played than what Burrow was in week one. And week one, it wasn't even the riff either, which was a big topic of conversation. I could point out 5 or 10 decisions he made before the snap, decisions he made in the huddle, decisions he made to bail from plays in the pocket. Like, stuff Burrow does literally better than anyone, stuff that's his superpower. He was doing at a 100 level, and just 1 week later, though, he improved a million different things, and he played really, really well, more than good enough to beat the Chiefs. So I'll bet on Burrow being just fine and the Bengals being a good team.
I think that's a safe place to land, and Washington's secondary might be just the team to get hot against. What is the latest? Obviously, you know, there were questions about Burrow's health with the wrist. I don't think it's health-related, but Ja'Marr Chase has seemed unhappy. We'll leave it
well,
there.
Well, he is.
Yeah, and then T. Higgins is health-related, I believe. Get us up to speed on all three of those guys.
So Burrow, like I said, the wrist is something he still won't say is 100%, but watching every throw in training camp especially, I've seen everything I need to see to not blame the wrist for what Burrow did poorly in week one, and then week two he played great. Ja'Marr Chase, his frustration has been palpable ever since the organization told him in the spring he was going to get a contract extension. They were ready to negotiate, and in his mind, they didn't go far enough. Both sides were at fault there for why a deal didn't get done and why this frustration has percolated into the season. Frankly, I think the best thing for both sides is a 150-yard game against the Commanders' secondary that doesn't have the corners to run with him. I think they might even try to force him the ball this week to try to just get finally some good juju going, and it'll certainly help that I expect T. Higgins to play this week. He tweaked his hamstring the second-to-last practice before the season started, and yes, there was speculation, you know, what's going on here, but yes, T. Higgins really injured his hamstring. Frankly, a guy in a contract year who hasn't gotten paid because of concerns about his hamstring history can't afford to have another hamstring injury on his ledger. I guess he'll have to have one now, but he wouldn't purposefully put that as something that's more piling on top of that for him. So with Higgins back, that'll open stuff up for Chase. They've got the most versatile offense they've had here. So they should, you know, for the first time this year, be full systems go on Monday.
Well, what's the strength of your defense? I know we talk a lot about the offense, but that defense has done some great things over the years too. What's the ultimate strength? Run defense or pass defense?
Well, this is one of the worst run defenses in the league, and the Commanders have a very clear path to victory here. They can just look at what New England did in week one, and that's try to play keep away, that's pound the rock and try to limit possessions. Bengals used to have maybe the best run-stopping nose tackle in the league in DJ Reader. Turn on the film in the playoffs in 21 and 22, and I'll challenge you to find a nose tackle who's doing more against the run than DJ did. Well, they didn't, or they replaced him with a couple of rookies who have been hurt, and they replaced him with a pass rusher in Sheldon Rankins, who's also hurt. So a clear opportunity to run the ball. The strength of the defense, though, for the Bengals, I mean, all you need to do is look at Patrick Mahomes' pass chart. The Bengals got experienced and veteran savvy at safety this year, bringing back Von Bell and bringing in Geno Stone. And Mahomes really only completed two passes that were even past the first down mark over the course of the game. So clearly the disguises and the versatility and the playmaking and the instincts in that Bengals secondary can force quarterbacks to have to play safe, even Patrick Mahomes. And when the Bengals, you know, went on those runs, that's exactly what the defense was doing. It was a bad pass defense last year, and so that's what made week two against Patrick Mahomes especially notable.
We're talking with Charlie Goldsmith here, reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer, covers the Bengals. You're in that locker room every day talking to players, talking to coaches. How are just like the vibes for the Bengals right now at 0-2? Is anybody concerned, or, you know, I mean, watching the Patriots last night get shellacked by the Jets, knowing since he lost to them week one, like, just how's everybody kind of handling it?
Week two against the Chiefs was a real missed opportunity. That win could have quite literally carried them through January in terms of they could have said, all right, we can beat the Chiefs, we're good, let's roll into the playoffs in any environment and have all the confidence in the world because this group had done it. Well, now they haven't. There was a bit of a moral victory element of saying, all right, at least Burrow's fine, at least the pass defense is fine, the offensive line's going to hold up. And, you know, looking forward, it's Commanders, it's Giants are coming up on the schedule, the Panthers are coming up on the schedule, then they'll play all the bad teams in the AFC West. So they're going to have more than enough chances to get right from a win-loss perspective. Also, it's their third straight year going 0-2, and this is the first year that there haven't been, like, legitimate pressing health questions with Burrow coming off 0-2. So a real significant missed opportunity that will show up from an intangible and momentum standpoint last week. But when you look at the soft schedule, when you look at the fact that the Ravens are 0-2, and the Steelers and Browns offenses are terrible, they still think they're going to win the AFC North. They have reasons to believe that and be confident in that. And now they just have to do it. This 2024 team has to show that they've corrected some of the problems that cost them last year. And, you know, kind of starting here, is you got to beat the teams on your schedule that you should beat. Chances you have to show that.
Do you think they have to run the ball better to also take some pressure off of Joe Burrow?
Sometimes. I think that that's always been a thing for the Bengals. They need to have defenses be worried enough, not worried, but noting the run game enough to not just abandon the box and just live in too deep. They have to, at least on a couple snaps a game, maybe force the safety to creep up just a little bit, because that's when Burrow takes a shot and beats you with a deep touchdown. So they've actually gotten much better at the running back position after losing Joe Mixon, who frankly wasn't very good last season. Zach Moss and Chase Brown, kind of a 1-2 punch tandem backfield. Moss, kind of a steady, efficient guy. Brown, the explosive potential. This will probably be like the 15th to 20th best rushing offense in the league. But for a team that wants to throw the ball 40 times a game sometimes, and whose best players are Burrow and Chase and Higgins, and they've got some tight ends they like, and the receiver depth is really starting to show up. They've got like four or five guys who would be starting receivers on most teams. So they're going to want to pass the ball at the end of the day. They just need defenses to respect the run.
Is there anything we're not thinking of in this matchup? Like, is there a Bengals weakness that Cliff Kingsbury is specifically trying to game plan for, whether it's the front end, the back end, whatever it might be?
Looking at the Bengals defense again, I think they're probably going to try to run the ball 20 to 30 times a game. I mean, here's who's going to be playing at defensive tackle for the Bengals this week. It's rookie Chris Jenkins making his NFL debut, who had thumb surgery 2 weeks ago and will be playing with a club. It's defensive tackle Lawrence Guy, who signed with the team on Wednesday. It's probably then going to be a practice squad ovation. Then it's going to be defensive end Sam Hubbard playing inside, which he really didn't do last year because they just don't have any more bodies. Like, for example, like the 4th and 16 play that Mahomes made and why the Bengals only rushed 3 and what happened there. That's been a huge talking point, even nationally this week, that play that turned into the pass interference penalty that let Kansas City win that game. And the only reason the rookie safety who made that penalty was on the field was the Bengals wanted to have a 4th defensive lineman in that game, but they didn't have a 4th defensive lineman to physically put into that game because their defensive tackles were playing on early downs because they were gassed. So you could either have played them like 100% of the snaps, or you could have just taken your chances with a 3 defensive linemen front, which they did. So it's a math problem up front that Washington, I would assume, is going to try to exploit.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun ball game. Tell B. Mitch, you tweeted about this earlier. Brian is from Louisiana, right? Not necessarily an LSU fan, but I think you love things that are good for the state.
Yeah.
Tell B. Mitch, Charlie, what an LSU fans' weekend in Cincinnati could include.
Yeah, well, Paul Skeens is pitching on Sunday in Cincinnati, and then Joe Burrow versus Jaden Daniels in Cincinnati on Monday night. Heck of a sports weekend, if you ask me.
That's a hell of a sports weekend.
I mean, dude, I'm bummed. Our flight gets in at like 2:30.
Yeah.
The first pitch is 1 o'clock, so we're not going to
– Yeah.
If that was a night game, I got to see the Skeens kid, man. I want to see him kind of as he has things going. Charlie, man, we really appreciate it. So you think Higgins is full go for this weekend, right?
I don't think he'll be playing 100% of the snaps. I think they'll probably be situational when they use him, and he probably won't. They probably won't throw too many 50-50 balls up toward him, but he's, of course, a part of the game plan. They do have the receiver depth, so some really nice guys in Yoshivash. Jermaine Burton is just a pure deep threat as a rookie. They're mixing in 2 tight ends. That's been the story of the week here, 2 tight ends for the first time ever. There's some honking in the background at Paycor Stadium for some reason. using 2 tight ends, they won't have to force Higgins to play just about every snap.
All right.
You think Gesicki's a big role for them all year?
It'll depend on the matchup. There are going to be times where they need to lean further into the blocking element at tight end, and that's why they'll use Eric All, a rookie out of Iowa. His role will continue to expand, but there are going to be specific teams and specific matchups. And actually, I would have said this last week, too, before he had 90 yards. The Chiefs are a perfect matchup to use Gesicki in the slot and exploit those matchups. So It'll be more situational. There's only one ball, and the game plan always starts with Chase and Higgins. But if you're looking, you know, I don't know that this is the weakness of the Commanders' defense, but when you see other defenses maybe with weaknesses at linebacker or in the middle of the field with the way they use their safeties to match up with guys like that, those will be the types of games where Gesicki shines.
Last thing, with the Bengals, I read something that their pace is kind of slow. That they don't get as many plays as their offense would suggest. Is that accurate? Have you noticed that their pace is not kind of top half of the league?
Well, I would probably first start with that, with how much the Patriots tried to milk the clock for the entire game in Week 1 on Monday. So it'll probably impact those stats you see. But then just purely from an Bengals offense perspective, Burrow is so good in deciphering information based on what he sees before the snap, and he'll move the back around, he'll move guys around, he'll call stuff out. He's so good at getting that even dating back to his second year in the league, really, he'll take that play clock down. So that probably factors into that as well, how good he is at getting information before the snap and how you see that translate into when the ball gets snapped.
All right. There you have it, Charlie.
You're just taking his time.
We'll see you on Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, Charlie.
Right. Charlie Goldsmith. Like
you said, Joe's just taking his time, man.
When you're Joe and
but let's think about this, though.
Control is not a bad idea.
Don't they worry about him getting hit a lot?
He gets hit a lot.
He doesn't run all his off. He gets hit in the pocket a lot, right? That offensive line, are they good enough?
I don't know.
But then you're going to find out about defense pressure good enough.
Yeah, I mean, you heard Joe Witt earlier talk about everybody's got to be better, including Allen and Payne. DQ kind of said the same thing. If you want to follow Charlie on Twitter, he does a really good job, at @CharlieG_. If you had to pick one guy to break out, step up this week, either side of the ball, who you want?
I want Terry to step up and break out. I just think that when Terry is doing his thing, he's like a spark plug for this football team. You know, there are guys on your team that can play and people see him, okay, whatever. But when another guy plays, like, Terry is a quiet guy, but he has a hell of an athletic confidence and arrogance about himself. Mm-hmm. And when he makes plays, you can see how he starts to get into it. I think guys feed off of Terry's exuberance and excitement.
I think that's fair. I think for me it's Payne. Mm-hmm. I think when Payne is at his best and he's dominant, the entire – offensively, they've been able to move the ball and they don't have Terry going, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Now, if you get Terry going, then you really got something going. Then the offense hits another gear.
Yeah.
But I would say – I mean, to use an analogy here, the offense has gotten into third gear. They're not in fourth, or certainly not in fifth, but they got into third.
Yeah.
Defense hasn't gotten out of neutral.
I don't – yeah.
And I think if Payne can get going and disrupt Burrow, disrupt the timing, disrupt those wideouts, could really be a boost for the whole defense. You heard Joe Witt talk about Ja'Marr Chase. You heard Charlie Goldsmith talk about T. Higgins mm-hmm. being healthy. This kid, Yoshi, they got, Ayashivas, can play, man. Gasecki's got hand. Like,
we can't give Joe that much time. But the thing about him, Joe will hold the ball, which will give you time to get to him. I think, you know, listen, man, if you feel that you are a good enough pass rusher, they got to get to him this week.
Got to. What's your path to slow down this Bengals offense? Like, outside of the just hope they're bad, like, what is your plan? You know what I mean?
Well, based off of what we've seen thus far, it don't seem like there is one. But we've heard enough talk, and we expect a lot of certain people where they got to play. They got to show up and be what they are touted as.
Right.
You can't keep this playing off of a reputation. That reputation has to be shown on the field now.
Totally. And I think those guys are aware of it. We talked to John Allen for a minute yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I'm not playing well enough. Nobody's playing well enough. John's a smart guy. He's never going to say the wrong thing. I think if you can get more out of Payne and Allen, or B, Johnny Newton's supposed to play more this week.
Let's see it.
What if you get more out of him? They were so excited about
him. I don't care the last name or the number. Just somebody in the middle. Let's get some pressure up the middle. That will change
edges,
a lot. I'll take the edges too, but I'm saying up the middle normally
disrupts
the hell out of a quarterback stepping into the pocket, and it also disrupts a running game. So I don't care what the number or what's the last name. I just want to see a big dude in burgundy and gold making plays consistently.
Big dudes in burgundy and gold making plays. We're going to open the phone lines up. 800-636-1067. You get to ask Brian Mitchell anything. 800-636-1067.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Just because it's week 3 doesn't mean the season is over. You can start the season with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Listen, you can build the same game parlay for Sunday's matchup, or you can wait till Monday and do it. So guess what I'm going to do on Monday? I'm going to go Jaden Daniels over rushing yards. I'm going to go my man Brian, anytime touchdown. And then I'm going to go over receiving yards. I'll go with Terry McLaurin. I think he's going to get up there this week. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel is an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Man, we've been grinding, and being out here feels a little different, but it is a Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope folks are indulging responsibly.
Yeah. Take your time.
So we're doing Ask B. Mitch Anything here right now, 800-636-1067, because we have Kevin Harlan joining us at 1 o'clock. Great get, Landy. Excited to talk. I honestly am just excited to hear Kevin Harlan talk. I like that dude. So to kick things off for Ask B. Mitch Anything, Alonzo is on line one. Zo, you're up, bud.
So to kick things off for Ask.
Zo, you got to turn your radio down, buddy.
Line one. Zo, you're up, bud.
All right. Hello? Let's put Alonzo on hold. We're going to try this again. Deshaun is in D.C. Is this your son-in-law?
I don't know.
Deshaun, what's up?
How you doing?
Yeah, what's
I
up, man?
I wanted to ask B-Mitch. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask B-Mitch, do you think, like, Terry McLaurin is just not creating space, or is we just looking just to hit him with the quick pass?
I don't think it's that he's not creating space. I just think that teams are trying to make sure they take him out, and Jaden, being a young guy, is not going to sit there and wait all day for him. He's going to make a decision, go somewhere, or he's going to just try and run the football. So I believe Terry will make the space and start getting open. But sometimes you got to just, when it's your best receiver, do what other teams do. Force it to your guy.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, a lot of the ways you force the football to a star receiver, like, they're doing that. They're getting the ball at the line of scrimmage just to get the ball in his hands. It's just not really accomplishing much. And the YPC is just so incredibly low. Yep. You'd think that will change. But I don't know, man. The Terry thing is a little bizarre, frankly, to me. I think it will improve. I definitely want to play this Jaden audio on Terry, but we'll keep the phone lines going right now. Yeah. Dan is in Fairfax. Dan, what's your question for B?
B. Mitch and Finley.
What up, Dan?
What's up, dude?
You good?
My question is, during the body bag game, I guess there was like 7 players injured. I was just wondering what was going through your mind, B. Mitch. I mean, I know you always say if you're worried about getting injured, you're probably going to get injured. So I was just wondering what's going through your head.
I wouldn't worry about being hurt or getting hurt or nothing like that. I just, listen, my whole thing was when I saw people going down, since we had put a game plan in for me that week, I started to focus on what if the chance were to come, will I be ready? And when they say you're in, at first I thought Coach Gill was in that running back, and he said no quarterback. I was like, okay, well, you've been practicing, it's time to go with it. And went to the game, and I basically told the guys on the first play, I said, listen, in college when I got my first play, I always ran it whether it was a pass or not, so I'm running this first one. And we had a false start, and I was running my tail off, and then we went on down and scored. But, yeah, I never thought about getting hurt or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, thanks for the call, Dan, and thanks for the enthusiasm. It's interesting how people view quarterbacks, and I get that he runs, and hell, he had to come out of the game last week, got the wind knocked out of him, got his helmet knocked off week one. Like, I understand all of it. But don't you find it interesting, the conversation specific to Jaden, but around quarterbacks, is like there's this constant fear of them getting hurt, whereas no other player on the field that exists.
They don't care about them. But it's weird, and I think for me, the fact that I play quarterback, and yes, I'll be in college, but I was as important for my college team as any quarterback in the pros is for their college team. I mean, for their pro team. You think I cared about getting hurt? They told me to stay on the ground or run out of bounds. I lowered the boom on people. I dove across people. I played like that for 4 years straight. Didn't get hurt. And I played 14 years in the NFL crazy. Didn't get hurt. So eventually you got to let people be who they are, because when they start trying to become somebody else is when they get hurt. Because instead of going full speed through something, you slow down. You take it easy. And that's when somebody catch you. They catch you slipping.
Let's go to line 9, Jim in Navy Yard.
What up, Jim?
How's it going? I have a question for B-Mitch.
Sure, go ahead.
B-Mitch, during your NFL career, who was the toughest opponent you faced and why?
Toughest opponent I faced and why? I have to go with one of two people, and I'll probably just say both of them. Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor, because you watch those guys, and no one person got the best of them. And we doubled and did everything to them, but they were making plays over and over again. So I would have to go with – I would say those guys, 1A and 1B.
Who's better between those two? LT by a hair?
I think LT, because he was able to just disrupt the game from the outside. He'll slide inside, beat your center. He'll drop back in your passing game sometime. Reggie was there. He was hip-tossing. He was hip-tossing lineman. But I think overall, with the flair and the pizzazz of the way he did it, I have to go with LT.
I think it's LT. Because he was more versatile. Like, he could be a cover linebacker, whereas you're not dropping.
LT could do whatever the hell he wanted to do. On the football field, LT could do whatever he wanted to do.
Do you think who's the best defensive player ever?
One of those two?
Yeah.
Still, I'll go with one of those two right there.
Not one of these backers, not Ray
or something like that.
Let
me tell you, bro, those two guys right there, they didn't just line up in the middle and expect the people in front of them to take care of the business. They made the business happen. I saw LT line up on everybody across the line and did whatever he wanted to do with it.
I mean, one of the things
– he wasn't huge.
Right. One of the things that's most impressive about Joe Gibbs is to win three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks and just build these elite teams.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about Parcells and the Giants, like, those weren't explosive teams. You had Phil Simms throwing to Mark Bavaro. You know what I mean?
They were physical.
LT was kind of the answer there. Let's go to line one. Dan is in Ohio with a question for
you. What up, Dan?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Enjoy the show today. Right. Looking forward to Monday night. I'll be there supporting the Skins, so do our best. But my question was, I was watching the game over again tonight and about this defensive front. Beamish, do you think that we'll see some more or some different alignments throughout the game? In the fourth quarter, I saw him come out in like a 3-4 with Payne playing on the end and John playing in the middle. Was wondering if you think that they should go with that route, try some deep, different fronts, or if they should stick with what they've been doing.
Well, the thing I like about the way that Joe talks and also Dan, they talk about they're going to try to use what works. And I think if something hasn't been working consistently, they're going to try to make some adjustments because they're trying to find the best way of attacking defenses and the best personnel grouping to do the attacking. I mean, attacking the offenses. So I expect them to keep trying stuff till they find out what they do best.
Great. Thanks for the call,
Appreciate
Dan.
It, man.
I did want to ask you this. So the Bengals corner takes the shot at Cliff, right? Uh-huh. Calls it a college offense. We're only 2 weeks in. What do you think about the offense? It is a lot at the line of scrimmage.
It's a lot at the line of scrimmage, but, you know, the thing about me, I don't worry about how you do it at the line of scrimmage because I see – Kansas City threw a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage, you know, but then they get down the field later on. I just think that you have to keep working on your stuff to implement it as you wish. I also am understanding that they don't have the full stuff going right now. They are trying to bring Jaden along. We can sit up here. We're going to have people going to be upset as hell throughout the year, but they're trying to build this thing, and they are not trying to rush it. They're trying to build it and gradually get him and let him understand everything. And it's not going to move at the pace that people want it to move. So that's why I don't get too upset with things that are going on right now because I understand what they're trying to do. And they basically told us this.
I think it was interesting to me the other day when DQ was asked about Terry McLaurin. I'm tempted to pull the quote up. He said repeatedly, we got to move him around. We got to put him into kind of some different looks. And they talked about how neighbors they would throw into these bunch formations where it's a lot harder to kind of to get a bump on them, to get press on them, whatever that is. It was interesting to hear the head coach say those things mm-hmm. when the offense doesn't really reflect those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's only 2 weeks. Maybe they've realized now that has to come.
Mm-hmm.
But that stood out to me. For Quinn to talk about it when he's not the offensive play caller.
He's the head coach, though. He gets to think about everything.
For sure. But, like, what he was describing hasn't really been consistent with what we've been seeing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I think we're all at different stages when you look at those different teams. This team, no matter what we think, is trying to build something for the long haul, which means they may just work on foundation right now and next year. Up there in New York, they're not trying to build a foundation. They're trying to keep jobs. And they're trying to make sure that everything don't go to hell in a handbasket. You know what I mean? I think that's the ultimate thing where you are in different stages of this thing where you hire Adam to roll in here and build a team, a solid foundation. And I think they're focusing on that more than they just like, hey, let's just try to do this stuff real quick. Because none of us want them to have a good year this year and then be stinking for some years to come. We want it to be gradually going to where now we're in that constant rotation like Steelers, Ravens, Chiefs, those things. And I'm not saying to be in the Super Bowl all the time, but be have opportunity to get to one. Because if you're not in the playoffs, you can't get to one, right?
Mm-hmm. Here's a quote. This is DQ. Well, asked about getting the ball to Terry. Well, I would say try to move Terry around into different spots, which you know is important because he has that playmaking ability. You want to find the spots to go. As we're going just into our second full lap together, there'll be more opportunities for him, and we need them to be.
Because I'm sure DQ and Cliff get into conversations, and DQ will tell him what will affect his defense and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? But also, you don't want to be a coach telling your offensive coordinator how to run something.
You don't want to micromanage.
Yeah, and if you start micromanaging, then you got problems.
The last micromanagement was Ron to Scott Turner. It didn't go great. The last, I can't imagine Ron tried to micromanage Eric Bieniemy. That would have been a volatile situation.
I think it was a volatile situation.
I think a lot of the
comments that were made were an effort to micromanage. Like, try to put people in their place.
Kevin Harlan at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Little sandstorm. Sandstorm down at South Carolina. Almost beat LSU. Also in South Carolina is Mullins, South Carolina, a town we just learned about.
Lambfield,
South Carolina. Exactly. All right, B. I've been wanting to play this. I don't know if you heard it yesterday. You probably didn't because you were doing your thing. I thought this was a really, really mature, insightful answer to a question many people have been asking. Number 8, Landini. This is Commanders rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels talking about wanting to get the ball to Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I mean, go out there and pick the spots. I mean, you know, obviously we got to get Terry the ball. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to spread the ball around. Defenses are going to key on Terry, respectfully, respect to him, because of what he did in his league. But at the end of the day, man, when it's time and we have a one-on-one matchup, you know, sometimes, Terry's out there, you know, go let him win. But other than that, you know, we're just going to keep playing our game. We're going to keep moving forward and just go from there.
I think that's really pretty damn fair, don't you?
I mean, the thing about it is, now, you know the little thing we used to do, what didn't he say?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to learn this thing myself. I'm not going to go in there and just try to force it, and then all of a sudden y'all going to be questioning me. So I'm going to keep going, and I've seen him one-on-one. I'm going to give him a shot like he did in the game. He just overthrew him against Tampa. But right now I'm not at the position in my career where I can just force stuff to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think if – It, you know, a lot could happen, right? But I think I, like, left hand up a little bit. Now, granted, I haven't asked these questions, but I think we're making a little too much out of a slow start here because it's just the start. We're too, like, people are freaking out about scoring being down and passing being down. It's 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
Like, let's just give it a little bit of time. I did like this from Jaden about what he liked from Sunday's game against the Giants. It wasn't all great, but there was some good stuff there. Number 7, Landini.
Yeah, we got out there in the run game, physical up front, made plays in the passing game. I feel like we could still expand on overall as an offense. But we know we got to execute, we got to finish drives, and that's the name of the game, is putting up points and scoring touchdowns.
That is the name of the game.
On Sunday, you score field goals, you can win it.
Yeah, they didn't do it enough.
Do that against the right team?
I don't think field goals win it Monday night. Do you?
No.
No.
No. Well, a field goal may win it at the end. You never know, but I'm saying, listen, I just think that you want to score touchdowns, but you damn sure don't want to finish a drive without getting any points.
To that point, number 11, Landini, was asked, can they fix these issues in the red zone?
Yeah, I mean, everything is fixable. You got to put attention to detail. It starts with communication, and that starts with me. So, you know, it gets kind of loud down there in the red zone. So if I need to be extra loud so guys can hear me, or, you know, just a focus thing. But all 11 of us all got to be on the same page. We all got to focus for 6 seconds, play in and play out, and move on.
It's pretty crazy when you think about the 6 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think the fact that he answered it like that 6 seconds, we always think about, oh, 60 seconds, 25, 30, say, no, no, no. You got to focus in on the play. The moment we get to the line of scrimmage, till the ball is snapped. Think about that.
Well, and there's something else happening.
Some people couldn't even hold their water that long.
Right. What do you think of Noah Brown, B?
I when I saw him working out in Tampa, I was like, I can't wait to see this guy on the field. Then he gets on the field. He looks a lot bigger than everybody, and he can run. You watch him in a running game. He was blocking. Just a little bit I saw, I'm excited about him, you know, moving forward. So I'm thinking he could be a big plus for this team.
I think he can too. I don't know what that looks like, but he just looks different when he's out there compared to what everything else looks like in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden, I asked Jaden about what he thought with Noah Brown, number 12, Lanville.
Yeah, I think just what he's proven in this league, you know, be able to go out there and create separation, make plays. Obviously, him and Terry both came from Ohio State, so they have a lineage of receivers. I still think LSU creates the best receivers, but, you know, not trying to be biased. But they're just very hard workers, man. You can just tell with Noah how he approaches practice. He's a pro's pro. And you see the same thing from Terry, and you know, trickle down to the rest of the room.
I think there is a lot to like with Brown. I also think it's going to take some time. I've been saying all along, I kind of think like after Halloween, but I think McCaffrey and Sennett will get more involved. A lot to watch offensively. Yeah. When we return, we'll be joined by Kevin Harlan. He'll be on the call of Monday night's Commanders Bengals game. But right now, caller number 10, you win two tickets to Caps 50 Fest. Join the Caps for 50 Fest featuring Third Eye Blind. Celebrate the Caps 50th anniversary on Thursday, October 10th at Capital One Arena. Caps 50 Fest will have over 60 alumni in attendance, the Caps current roster, photo opportunities, entertainment, and Third Eye Blind. Tickets are only $19.74. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events.